Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Miss Fleming Falls in Love by Emma Melbourne, narrated by Liam Price. Prologue. 6 months earlier, September 1815.
Dear Miss Fleming, I am writing to give my condolences for the loss of your father and for your family's recent troubles. You have my deepest sympathy. After a great deal of reflection, I have decided I must do the honourable thing and release you from our engagement. You were raised to expect a certain lifestyle, and without your dowry, I would be unable to support you in the manner you deserve. Believe me, Miss Fleming, no one is more disappointed by this turn of events than I am. I trust we may remain friends. Yours truly, Percival Brooks.
October 1815. Dear Mr. Brooks, you foolish man, I thought you knew our betrothal was in jest. As the daughter of a viscount and the granddaughter of a duke, I would never stoop to marry the son of a baronet. But I fear I may be to blame, as I thought you understood how the game was played. Please accept my sincere apologies. I'm sure you'll find another young lady who is worthy of your affection. Miss Fleming. P.S. Go to the devil. Amelia.
Chapter 1. Notes from the Diary of the Earl of Langley. March 1816, London. I never thought I would keep a diary, but boredom has driven me to it. Every season is worse than the last. The balls are boring. My friends are boring. And all the young ladies in London are intolerably dull. After 10 years on the town, I have yet to meet a woman who can string two intelligent sentences together. Of course, my mother is after me to get married, as she thinks I need an heir. Perhaps having children would be interesting, but I doubt it. Certainly not if they were born by one of the insipid young ladies I've met at balls. I'm only 32. So there's plenty of time to worry about the succession. But somehow, Mother discovered that I'm known as the Stone Heart, and although I find the name amusing, she finds it worrisome. She's convinced that I'm lonely, and insists that if I simply offer marriage to an eligible young woman, love will follow. But I tried that once, and everyone knows how it ended. Robert Stone, Earl of Langley.
Matthews, the Earl of Langley's butler, looked down his nose at the young person standing on the doorstep of the Earl's townhouse. It was an unfashionably early hour for a morning call, and the caller presented a decidedly unfashionable appearance, in a coat that hung on his slight frame and trousers that dragged on the ground.
"The Earl is not at home this morning," Matthews said haughtily.
Miss Amelia Fleming took a deep breath, squared her shoulders, and presented her brother's visiting card.
"I believe he will want to see me," she said, in her best impression of her brother's voice.
Amelia felt a moment's guilt at paying a visit disguised as her brother, but it vanished almost as quickly as it came. Someone had to confront the Earl, and her brother William had shown no desire to do it. Matthew's eyebrows rose to his hairline as he read the name on the card, and he stepped back as though he had seen a ghost.
"Viscount Cliveden," he said, sounding stunned.
"Yes," Amelia nodded. It took Matthews a moment to gather his wits.
"You must be the son," he said, finally.
Amelia gave him a strange look.
"Yes." "If you'll wait a minute, my lord, I will ask if the Earl will see you," Matthews said.
Amelia was left standing on the doorstep while he went to find Lord Langley. When Matthew scratched on the door of his lordship's dressing room, his haughty expression gave way to a look of apprehension. He was relatively new to the household, and he couldn't predict how the Earl would react to the news of his early caller. There was no answer to his scratch on the door, so Matthews knocked timidly.
"If you mean to knock, do it properly," came a voice from inside the room. I have no patience for people who scratch at my door.
Matthews hesitated, unsure whether to knock properly or simply go in, as Langley clearly knew he was there.
You might as well come in, Langley called. No need to heighten the suspense.
Matthews found Lord Langley in the process of tying his cravat, while his valet, Timms, hovered solicitously by his shoulder.
Viscount Cliveden has called, my lord, Matthews said nervously, holding out the tray bearing the visiting card.
Langley raised an eyebrow. What a surprise! There was a moment of silence while Matthews waited for further instructions. None came.
I told him you were not at home, my lord, Matthews finally continued.
Matthews, you can be remarkably foolish sometimes, Langley said. I am certainly at home to Viscount Cliveden. I have been waiting for him to call for almost a year. Show him to my study and tell him I will be with him directly.
Amelia was shown to a handsomely furnished study.
May I take your hat, sir?
Matthews asked. Amelia raised a protective hand to the top hat that covered the long red hair she had carefully pinned in a knot.
No, thank you. I'll keep it.
After she had waited for a quarter of an hour, she noticed an elegant chess set on a small table in front of a fireplace. She moved to examine the pieces, which were beautifully carved in mahogany and ivory. To pass the time, she began a match against herself, walking around to the other side of the board after playing a piece. After several moves, the furrow of anxiety left her brow. By the time Lord Langley strolled into the room a half hour later, White was several moves away from checkmate. Amelia was so engrossed in the game she didn't hear the door open, and she jumped when the Earl spoke.
I am honoured, Cliveden, Langley said, and at such an early hour, too.
I was afraid that if I waited, I would lose my nerve, Amelia admitted.
Now that she had seen Lord Langley, she regretted having come. He was an intimidating figure, tall, dark, and fashionably dressed in a burgundy waistcoat and buckskin breeches that showcased his athletic physique. His eyes were the colour of coffee but held none of the warmth. Langley strode further into the room and surveyed his visitor through a quizzing glass. He saw a slender youth with blue eyes, fair skin, and a smattering of freckles across a straight nose. The caller wore shabby clothes and a determined expression. For an instant, Langley's face betrayed surprise, but it came and went so quickly that Amelia thought she had imagined it.
Really, Cliveden? You don't need to go to such lengths to convince me you're short of funds,
Langley drawled.
I'm not such an ogre that I would begrudge you the cost of decent clothing. Whoever designed that coat should be shot.
Amelia flushed.
While you may find the situation amusing, sir, I can assure you I do not. I am fully aware of the debt that I owe you, and I have come to explain that I can't pay you yet.
One might ask why you continue to play the tables when you have a debt of honour you can't pay.
My lord, I was overcome by grief and not thinking rationally. I gambled with the hope of winning enough money to pay the debt. I believed that if I played long enough, the odds would turn in my favour.
Langley raised an eyebrow.
Not a mathematics scholar, are you, Cliveden?
Amelia's eyes flamed with anger before she swallowed her pride.
I realise it was foolish, and I have come to ask if we could reach an agreement to pay the debt in instalments. My estate, Cliveden Manor, is entailed and heavily mortgaged, but the land is good, even if it hasn't been optimally managed. I have been working to improve the crop yields, and I think there is a realistic hope of making it profitable very soon. I could pay you a little every year.
The Earl was quiet for a minute.
And if I agree to take payment in instalments, do I have your word that the gambling will stop?
Amelia shifted uncomfortably in her chair.
I will try my utmost to stop it, my lord.
You beg me for patience, but you can't give me your word. Amelia looked more uncomfortable still.
It's a family weakness, my lord. She hesitated. There may be a way to hasten repayment.
Oh? Asked Langley.
My sister's marriage, Amelia said in a rush.
The corner of Langley's mouth quirked up.
You'll forgive me, Cliveden, for having some reservations. I don't think it will answer.
You have just confessed a family weakness for gambling, and although my pockets are deep, I'm not sure they're deep enough to support a lady with gambling in her blood.
He paused.
And there is something distasteful about taking a woman in payment of a debt.
Amelia laughed.
Oh, not you, sir. I realize Amelia has no hope of marrying into the nobility.
But our birth may still be worth something, and a wealthy merchant or merchant's son may be within our reach.
2 years ago, Mr. George Garland approached our father about a match with Amelia, which Papa declined, as Amelia's affections were otherwise engaged. But now her engagement has ended, and we hope that Mr. Garland will renew his suit.
Your sister must be beautiful.
Oh, no, sir, Amelia said earnestly. Isabel is the beauty of our family, but Amelia's looks are tolerable, and I believe she has a chance of a good marriage.
Wouldn't that beauty of your family have a better chance of making a good marriage?
Oh, I could never sacrifice Isabel. She's very young, and still dreams of finding the sort of love she reads about in novels.
Amelia smiled.
But Amelia's a practical girl. She won't mind.
How fortunate for your family.
Yes, the thing is, sir, Mr. Garland places a great deal of importance on social position.
He is a social climbing mushroom, agreed the Earl.
Yes, said Amelia, biting back a laugh, and our family's reputation is unfortunately somewhat tarnished since the...
She paused and searched for the word.
Since the incident with our father, many of the doors of the Tun have been closed to us. You and your family are very influential, and I believe that if you wanted, you could smooth our path back to society.
Langley played with the ribbon of his quizzing glass.
Wouldn't people think it was odd after the incident? Oh, I'm sure we could come up with a story that would satisfy people. We could let people believe that the debt had been paid, and...
But the debt hasn't been paid, Langley pointed out gently.
We don't have to lie, if that's distasteful to you.
Amelia agreed.
You could just say something vague that hinted that it had, and the news would spread through the Tun.
What exactly would I say? Asked Langley, looking amused.
I would have to think of exactly how to phrase it, said Amelia. But I'm confident I could come up with something.
She hesitated.
But I had another idea.
The Earl sighed. You had better tell me.
You could pretend to be courting Isabel.
Langley curled his lip and said nothing.
Everyone would believe it. She really is very beautiful, said Amelia earnestly. If I explain the situation to her, I'm sure she'll go along. You could take her driving and dance with her at Bull's.
How old is Isabel?
17,
Amelia answered.
Do you know how old I am?
No, sir.
Langley noted that his visitor's voice had risen in pitch, and he smiled.
I'm 32, almost twice Isabel's age.
Hardly that, sir, said Amelia.
Oh, no?
You're 2 years short of double.
You're right,
he said with a small smile. I see that you have a head for arithmetic, even if you don't understand gambling odds. I've always been good with numbers, said Amelia defensively.
If you say so, said Langley sceptically. But we've strayed from the point. You were suggesting I court a young lady half my age.
Over half, Amelia cut in. A young lady, slightly more than half my age, who I assume has not yet been out in society, and whose family stands in my debt.
Pretend to court, sir, Amelia corrected. I never imagined that you would actually offer for Isabel.
What would be the conclusion of this little drama? The Earl asked curiously.
Oh, well, once Amelia has secured an offer of marriage from Mr. Garland, or someone like him, you could stop paying attention to Isabel.
What would the ton think of that?
I expect people would think you decided you did not suit.
And what would that do to Isabel's chances of marriage? He asked. People would assume I had found her wanting.
Amelia considered the problem.
Maybe you could pretend to be engaged and she could cry off.
Are you suggesting I set myself up to be jilted a second time? He asked dryly.
Amelia flushed. I wasn't aware that you had been engaged before, she said quickly.
I see how that would be a problem.
The Earl walked over to study the chessboard. White is four moves from checkmate, he remarked. Do you often play chess against yourself, Cliveden?
I used to play against my father, sir. Since his death, I have had trouble finding an opponent, so I occasionally play against myself. It is not as enjoyable as playing against an opponent, but it serves.
Amelia smiled.
You have a magnificent chess set.
I'll play you for the debt, Cliveden, Langley said abruptly. If you beat me at chess, we'll call things even.
Amelia smiled. Is this a trap, my lord? I have just promised to stop gambling.
Not exactly, Cliveden. You promised to do your very best to stop. You explain that it's an, family weakness.
I have nothing to wager, my lord, and I won't make a bet I can't pay.
Then it seems you don't share the family weakness, Miss Fleming, Langley said smoothly, and I don't make bets with ladies.
Chapter 2
Amelia jumped in surprise. In her confusion, she knocked off her hat, revealing a messy knot of red hair.
How did you know? She asked.
Miss Fleming, only a fool would be taken in by that outfit. She bristled.
Your butler didn't think anything was amiss.
Langley nodded. I am ashamed, Miss Fleming. As you have discovered, I am employing a fool.
Amelia laughed in spite of herself.
How long have you known?
He sighed apologetically. That Matthews is a fool? I suspected it within several days of hiring him, but it is very hard to find competent staff.
Amelia stared at him in confusion and then in frustration. That wasn't what I meant. I don't care about your butler.
I'm sure he would be disappointed to hear it.
How long have you known that I'm not William? She persisted.
Since I walked into the room. You have a different shape than your brother.
I didn't think you'd met William, said Amelia.
Had I known, I wouldn't have tried to pass myself off as him. But we've always looked so much alike, and I'm quite tall and skinny, so...
I've never met your brother, Langley interrupted. But even in those ridiculous clothes, you don't look like a man.
And you let me continue under false pretenses?
She asked indignantly.
You were the one who began the deception.
Yes, but once you realized I was not my brother, you ought to have said.
Forgive me, Miss Fleming, said Langley. You have my word that the next time a young lady pays me a morning call disguised as a man, I will inform her as soon as I realize it.
Amelia laughed again.
It sounds absurd when you put it that way. She had prepared for this interview so carefully, but she felt like the conversation was getting away from her. Langley nodded. I'm glad you agree. He paused and looked her in the eye. I wish to be clear on one point. The next young lady to pay me a call in disguise will not be you. When you next do me the honour of paying a call, you will come as yourself, with a chaperone. Amelia nodded meekly, suddenly struck by the impropriety of what she had done. I beg your pardon, sir. I just thought that someone needed to see you, to discuss the matter openly, and I thought you might not want to see me if I came as myself. I apologize for wasting your time. Langley smiled. On the contrary, Miss Fleming. I can't recall when I last spent a more interesting half hour. Does your mother know you're here? Mama has gone to her family in France. She left the day after Papa's incident. That was shortly after Boney's return, Langley mused. It would have been a dangerous time for a lady to be travelling in France. Oh, yes, but Mama wouldn't have cared about that, explained Amelia. She's always been fearless, even reckless. Papa used to joke that there was a streak of madness in her family, and she didn't disagree. Sometimes I thought she was disappointed that her children were so conventional. Langley privately thought that Amelia's decision to visit him disguised as her brother suggested she shared more of her mother's character than she thought. Why did she flee? He asked abruptly. Surely such a fearless lady wasn't afraid of the scandal. Oh, Mama didn't care a fig for the scandal, said Amelia dismissively. But she is terrified of poverty, and although her brother has had his own difficulties over the past few years, with the war and all, he is still in a better position than we are. Fortunate for her, Langley remarked. So she left her conventional children to fend for themselves. Well, William had just come of age, Amelia explained, and Aunt Lizzie, Papa's sister, has lived with us for several years, so Isabel and I have a chaperone, and everything is proper. I am relieved to hear that the proprieties are observed, said Langley dryly. Does Cliveden know you're here? She coloured. Not precisely. I didn't think so. I was trying to convince him to come himself. I told him that if he didn't come, I would, but I don't think he believed me. He is a fool, Miss Fleming. He is very young, she said defensively. He is older than you, is he not? Asked Langley. Yes, he is almost 22, she admitted. I'm 20. Yet you haven't had a season? No. Mama planned to bring me out 2 years ago, but I became betrothed to an old friend. But the betrothal has ended. Who was it? He asked quietly. She shook her head. It's not important. I think it is. Amelia sighed. Percy Brooks. He's the second son of a baronet whose estate borders ours. We play together as children, and 2 years ago we reached an understanding. We didn't marry immediately, as he was working as a secretary at the embassy in Vienna. And then, after the incident... She paused. The incident in which your father threw himself in the river after I ruined him at cards? Asked Langley bluntly. Yes. Although, to be fair... Mama doesn't believe he threw himself in the river. She insists it was an accident. I understand he was quite drunk. Best to let her think that if it gives her comfort. I'm not sure it gives her comfort, but she says he wouldn't have had the guts to do it deliberately, said Amelia matter-of-factly. Langley nodded. And your Mr. Brooks? Did he cry off because of the scandal? He cried off because of the loss of my dowry, Amelia said brusquely. His family has also had financial difficulties, and Percy has almost no money of his own. Without my dowry, we would have had nothing. I don't think I would have minded, but Percy said it wouldn't be fair to me. I'm sorry. Amelia shrugged. An affair of the heart is always a gamble, she said philosophically, although her expression belied the lightness of her tone. And the good news is... I'm free to seek a match that will be more helpful to my family.
George Garland? Said the Earl thoughtfully. Are you acquainted with him?
No, but Papa thought he was harmless.
High praise indeed, said Langley wryly. So you're committed to this idea?
Yes, Garland or someone like him, said Amelia. I've often wondered if things would have turned out differently if I'd married him 2 years ago. Papa would have had the settlement, and he might not have felt compelled to play so much, and maybe...
The result would have been the same, said Langley ruthlessly. Your marriage would only have delayed the inevitable. Your father would have run through the settlement money, and then he might have tried to marry your beautiful sister off to another wealthy cit. He would have run through the money too and had to face the crisis then. Of course, that's assuming that you don't have an endless supply of beautiful sisters available for sale.
That's a cruel way to look at it.
The Earl raised an eyebrow. Yet you don't argue it's inaccurate.
No, Amelia admitted. But most people would not put it quite so bluntly.
You may have heard, Miss Fleming, that I'm known as the Stoneheart.
I'm not foolish enough to take that seriously, Amelia scoffed. It sounds like the villain in a fairy tale.
Quite so, agreed Langley, the ghost of a smile on his lips. But coming back to the point, it is nonsensical for you to think that you failed your father. If anything, you failed me.
You, my lord? Asked Amelia in surprise. Because I haven't been able to pay the debt.
Don't you see, Miss Fleming, that if you had married Mr. Garland, your father's ruin would have been delayed by several months, and it would likely have been at someone else's hands. My name wouldn't have been associated with the scandal.
But that's ridiculous, she said incredulously.
The Earl shrugged. No more ridiculous than you blaming yourself for your father's inability to stay away from the gambling tables.
Well, she said, disconcerted, I wish you'd reconsider my suggestion to pretend to court Isabel. I'm sure we could find a way to end things without embarrassing either of you, and I think it would increase my chance of a good marriage.
The Earl was silent for a moment and appeared to be considering it.
But if you don't think you could do that, there may be other ways, Amelia continued. I could offer you other services, perhaps on your estate.
Certainly not, Langley interrupted angrily. I won't consider it.
William said you'd say that, said Amelia, looking disappointed.
She had finally succeeded in shocking Langley.
You've discussed this with your brother? He asked. His opinion of William had never been high, but he could hardly believe that he would offer his sister's virtue in payment of a debt.
Amelia nodded.
He said that no man wants a woman to give him advice on managing his estate.
Managing his estate?
Langley sputtered in disbelief. Amelia nodded again.
I've spent a lot of time over the past several years researching agricultural methods to maximise the productivity of our estate. She smiled modestly. We've increased our crop yields by 60% over the past 4 years.
Crop yields? Asked Langley.
Yes, crop yields, said Amelia. I know it sounds dull, but it can significantly increase an estate's income. I've worked with many of our tenant farmers to introduce some new methods, because when the tenants do well, they're more likely to pay their rent reliably. Our estate was poorly managed to begin with, so I doubt your lands would see the same degree of improvement as we have, but there may still be ways.
Miss Fleming, I have a land agent, Langley cut in.
Yes, and I'm sure he's very capable, she agreed. But the thing is, sir, I've been very motivated. My family needs money quite desperately, so I've devoted a great deal of time to reading and experimenting. I think I could help your land agent.
Out of the question, he said firmly.
Oh, said Amelia dejectedly. Well, if you don't think I could help your land agent, and you don't wish to pretend to court Isabel...
I don't.
Then the only option I can see is for us to pay you in instalments, a little every year.
There is another option, he said, staring at her intently. Amelia met his eyes,
hardly daring to hope.
There is?
Langley nodded. I could forgive the debt.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?